Amen. I'd like to speak to you for a moment from the Scriptures. If you'd like to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 17 with me tonight, please. Luke chapter 17, verse number 22. Luke chapter 17, verse 22. Father, add your blessing in reading this book, anoint these words, and use this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 17 and verse 22. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding together. One shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field. One shall be taken, the other left. They answered, said to him, where, Lord? And he said to them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. If you'll notice, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke of the earth as a globe, spoke of the times and seasons being different in one place than another. For here we have some in the field and some in bed at the same time. It's obvious that he's talking about different parts of the earth, different areas. And what is important, verse number 25, he said, this generation. According to the Scripture, it breaks down man's sojourn on this earth into generations. God deals with generations. In the prophecy of the second advent in Matthew chapter number 24, he said, this generation shall not pass until he come. So the Lord deals with generations. And if you've lived any length of time, you'll be able to observe the difference in generations. I've observed that. I've observed the difference in a number of generations in my few days on this earth. But the Bible tells you in the book of Luke chapter number 17, he uses two Old Testament characters. He uses Noah and he uses Lot. Now they have found what they believe is Noah's ark at Mount Ararat, which is in the area of Turkey. And they have had a hard time getting to that location for political reasons and so forth. But a number of pretty credible people feel like that they found the Ark of Noah. And I won't argue with them. They've taken some photographs and brought back some ancient wood and this and that, and feel like that they found it. For obvious reasons, a Muslim country does not want them, want Christians in there, snooping around, and for political reasons and what have you. But whether they ever find the Ark of Noah or not will not change my belief one bit at all in the Ark, because the Bible said there was an Ark, there was an Ark. And no question about that. As far as Sodom and Gomorrah is concerned, you can go to the area of the Dead Sea, which was the ancient location of Sodom and Gomorrah, and you can find bitumen, pits of bitumen, an area in there that has, they've done some archaeological digs in that area. They have found indication of immense fires that have destroyed civilization at one time in that area. And it's important to understand that the Bible says that God rained fire down on these people. For example, if you go to Megiddo, you'll find 22 distinct separate layers of civilization. The Holy Land's an ancient place. It's been there a long time. And so when you go in for the purpose of archaeology to try to find what the Bible says, they have never found yet one thing that would dispute the Word of God. Never, never, never. Always, when they find something, it corroborates the Scripture. So we know that Noah was a historical figure. We know that Lot was a historical figure. No doubt about that. But the Lord used them. He used them to teach about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is it about Noah and what is it about Lot, then, therefore, is so important? Well, first of all, as I talked, I think it was last Sunday night, I preached on Genesis chapters number 4 and 5. And the genealogy of Cain is in the 4th chapter of Genesis. The genealogy of Seth is in the 5th chapter of Genesis. And you can see the distinct difference between the two genealogies. And at the time of Noah, which all this preceded Noah, you can see that the genealogy of Cain wound up being murderers with Lamech. And so therefore they were violent men, unbelievers, godless men. And the genealogy of Seth was full of prophets because they were prophesying of the coming of the Lord. Enoch prophesied that the Lord would come, named his son Methuselah. When he is dead, it'll be sent. So we know therefore then that we have two distinct groups of people on this earth that relate to the time of Noah. We have today men who are not a people of faith, who do not believe in Christ, do not believe in the Bible. They're violent men. They're wicked men. They're godless men. And they may have a show of faith openly. They may even say they believe in God. But they are structuring this world for a one world government. Then we have the time of Lot, which you know as well as I do. He was in Sodom. He was a elderman or an alderman or a councilman or what have you of Sodom, sat in the gate, a man of high position. Therefore, he had embraced the culture of Sodom. The culture of Sodom was a pure, perverted culture. And the term Sodom had, from that time all the way up until the present time, has been used to describe the perversion that's associated with sodomy. So the Lord used Noah and He used Lot. Noah's time, we have godless men. The time of Lot, we have sexual perversion. In 1946, a book was published in this country, and it was published right at the time of the explosion of the baby boom. I am the baby boom generation. That's my generation. The men returning from World War II, who came back to the States, fathered a huge number of children. And that's why they called it a baby boom. And during the 40s, late 40s, in that area, that time, long about in there, is the time of the baby boomers. I was born in 1946. My father came back from Europe, fought in World War II. And I was born September the 17th, 1946. I'm a baby boomer. And in 1946, a man by the name of Benjamin Spock came out with a book about raising children. Now, you may not realize this tonight, but that book has sold as a nonfiction throughout all the world, second only to the Bible. That's remarkable. Not only that, but since it has been sold throughout the world, it has been translated into many different languages. Now, when you find a book being translated into a lot of different languages, you've got yourself a bestseller. That's a surefire indication right there that it's the kind of book that people are buying. They bought in to Dr. Benjamin Spock's, he's a pediatrician, by the way, they bought in to his philosophy of raising children hook, line, and sinker. Even people who went to church and called themselves Christians threw their Bibles down and picked up Spock's book and began to use it to raise their children. Well, if children born in 1946 came of age in the 60s. And the children born in 1946, 60, 46, 47, 45, along in there, came of age in the 60s. If you remember anything about the history of this country, you will remember that the flower children, the drug culture, the LSD crowd, was the crowd of the 60s. You remember that. And they were a direct product, first generation, of Benjamin Spock. Well, they had children. They raised their children under Mr. Spock's guidelines and teachings. And then they raised their children, and they raised their children, and each successive generation till we reach the present. And in 1998 or 99, Spock died. And they did a thing on the public broadcasting system about him, and apparently he is some kind of a great hero in the country. The liberal would believe that. I saw a bumper sticker today. It says, "I hate commies and I hate liberals too." I think he said, "I hate commies and even if they call themselves liberals." Something to that effect. But liberals like Spock. Let me give you the first reason they like Spock. Spock threw the Bible out and took human experience and turned it on its head. Came up with an entirely different set of a way of raising a child. And what was Spock's way? Spock's way was no longer punish a child, as the Bible says. No longer instruct a child what's right and what's wrong. But allow this child to express itself. Bring out its inner person. And teach it in a positive manner. Everything has to be positive with that child. And built upon the philosophy that every child is innately good. That all you have to do is nurture the goodness in children, that you will produce an outstanding world citizen. What's wrong with that? Are we innately good? Does the Bible tell us that we are innately good? In other words, that we're naturally good? No. No. It says that we are born as a wild ass's colt. And it says that we are born in sin, that my mother conceived me, and I was shapen in iniquity. And the Bible says that I am by nature a child of wrath. Now, so the Bible goes completely contrary to the philosophy of Spock. Now, here's what's important. Before you build the mechanics of anything and work out how you're going to do something and how you're going to do this treatment and how you're going to do this and that, you have to have a philosophy. You have a philosophy. In other words, you have a basis for what you build on what you do. And if your philosophy is that the child is innately good and all it needs is some positive affirmation, and then therefore you're going to deal with the child on that level. Well, here's what's happened. We have now a generation that loves itself, that feels entitled, that does not feel at least bit inferior to anybody, and a generation that is living in a moral abyss. It has no moral compass. When you talk to this generation about right and wrong, they say, "That's your right and you're wrong." They may not say that to your face, but that's what they mean. "I've got my right, my wrong. You've got your right, you're wrong. Don't tell me what to do." We have a whole generation today that opens up the Bible, and the only thing they want out of the Bible is whatever's positive for them. Because for 50 years, that's all they've heard. Their father's fathers, and on back. It has to be positive, self-affirmation. It has to be all of this. Well, what has that produced? What has all that produced? This is 2009, February the 5th. What's it produced? Since 1960, violent crime has over tripled. Since 1960. You live in a time right now, and I don't like to be scary with people, but please listen to me. You live in an age where they'll kick your door down and come into your house and rob you of everything you've got. And the reason they're doing that is because it's easier to kick your door down and come in on you than it is to knock off these quick check stores out here or a bank or something like that. The average citizen is not armed. And believe me, these home invaders, if they had some way of knowing that you were not armed, they would come in on you like you wouldn't believe. They would kill you in a heartbeat. Yes, sir. They have no morals. They're like natural brute beasts. Well, we got that after 50 years. When I was a kid, people didn't even lock their doors. You can't believe that. Nobody believes that today. We didn't even lock our doors at night. You never heard of a home invasion? Not here in Knoxville, Tennessee. They're perpetrating unheard of crimes. They will kidnap somebody and cut their hands off, mutilate their bodies, kidnap. They are creative in their crimes because they have no morals. There's no conscience. It's taken 50 years to get to a generation without a conscience. That's sad. Children murder their classmates. They come to school with a gun and shoot the principal like they did out in Jacksboro there a couple of years ago. Some kid comes in there with a .22 and he shoots the principal to death. Shoots him to death. Shoots him to death! When I was a kid, nobody even thought of something like that. Shoot him to death. When you go to school today, you don't know if your teacher is going to molest you. You don't know. You don't know your teacher. You don't know your teachers today. Teenage mothers, they have the baby and put it in a garbage can. One girl had a baby, went to the bathroom, had her baby, stuffed it in a garbage can, went back out to the dance floor. No conscience. Didn't bother them. Spock sure pulled one on this country, didn't he? When people turn away from the Bible, what do you turn to? I don't care which direction you turn to when you turn away from the Bible. Where do you turn to? You turn to darkness. And ignorance. And superstition. Any way you turn from the Bible, there's nothing but darkness. And of course, you go around religious professionals today and they'll pump you up, make you feel good about yourself. In the 60s, the sexual revolution started. The reason it did, because they were the baby boomers, my generation, raised on Spock. Since they were raised on Spock, everything in life was created so they could feel good. The world was put here for them to enjoy. No responsibility, no accountability, nothing, nothing. Folks, I grew up in this generation. I grew up in the sexual revolution generation. I remember the way it was before, and I remember the way it was after. I remember the time when the girls were proud that they were virgins. I remember a time that if a girl got pregnant out of wedlock, it was a shame. Nothing to be proud about. You weren't proud back then. Nothing to be proud about. Fact is, a lot of girls back then were shipped off somewhere, and I know it's all one-sided. I know that. The boys ought to be shipped too, amen. Believe me, I agree. Yes, sir. I'm not... No. It takes two. But they shipped the girls off to have their babies because the family was so ashamed. Today it's a mark of honor. The girls get pregnant and they strut around and want you to see their babies. Well, who's the daddy? Well, I don't know. What difference does that make? I'm pregnant. I'm going to have a baby. That's the idea today. So what's happened? One of the most sacred things of your personal identity, the thing that makes you who you are, the birth of a child, to bring a child into this world and act like it doesn't mean a thing. Of course, DNA analysis, they'll find out who daddy is. No question about that. You'll say, was that wrong, preacher? It's wrong. God will forgive you. The blood of Christ cleanses from all sin. But the thing is, if you put a ship in the sea, you have no compass, you have no anchor, you have no rudder. You're just out there and you're going this way one minute, that way the next minute, this way the next minute, this way the next minute. How do you... You know, and somebody comes along and says, well, there's hope over here on this island. Well, how am I going to get there? You have no rudder. You have no compass. Nothing. This generation is like a generation on the sea. With no rudder, no compass, no anchor, no nothing. They just find themselves in the middle of life. The public school system, the government, any other public organization, for example, the welfare department, the health department, any of the rest of them, will not do what God's called on the church to do. The church is called upon to teach the generation what's right and wrong, not the government. You go talk to the government, they'll say this, well, we don't want them to, but. See, always that but. The sexual revolution, they say 1 in 4 teens today have an STD. Some say 50% of the teens today have an STD. Over half. Half. Half the girls, half the boys have a sexually transmitted disease. They used to call them venereal diseases. Many of these kids are going to die from these diseases. They're going to die from cervical cancer. They're going to die from other cancers. It's like AIDS. They're going to die from opportunistic cancers and diseases and infections. These things are going to stay on the rest of their life. They'll pass it on to their children. 50 years ago, 5 definite sexually transmitted diseases were identified. Main diseases. A most remarkable thing has happened. After 50 years of promiscuity, over 50 now. Now what's that say? Over 50. See, Mother Nature didn't do that, did she? Think about it for a minute. Think about it. Kids with no morals, bed hopping. It's my understanding that Facebook and MySpace and maybe other things on the internet that the kids use it just to hook up for sex. Yeah, hook up. That's the term. It's just, you know, have sex and see you later. Down the way they go. Sodomites have always been like that. But now the kids are doing it. And I wonder what, if the Lord doesn't come back, what are the kids going to teach their kids? What are you kids going to teach your little girls and boys when they come up? I know you're free, footloose, and fancy free now, and you've got no morals, and you've got no compass, and you do anything you please. But what are you going to do when it's your child? What are you going to do if you have a little girl, cutest little thing in the world, you put little ponytails, you tie her little pigtails up, you buy her little dresses, you know, oh, you can fix these little girls up so beautiful, cutest little things you ever saw. And you watch the little thing grow up, you know, and you think, my, I want something good for her. And about the time she hits about 10 or 12, some lesbian gets a hold of your daughter. Might bother you? Don't look to your government for help. Look to the Bible. I don't know how to say this. I don't know how to say this any plainer. Anything outside of this book is insanity. I don't care if it's the chair at UT. This book is the truth. It is the truth about morality. It's the truth about sin. It's the truth about to raise your children. It's the truth about how to conduct your life. It's the truth about how life ought to be, society ought to be, culture ought to be. The book. The book. And anytime any government that rises up and disagrees with the book, judge, court, law, sheriff, police, that disagrees with the book, they're wrong. They're wrong. They're wrong. They're dead wrong. You see, nothing gets more personal to somebody than their children. Than their children. And you can mark this down. The sodomites, and that includes the lesbian and the male and the female, they're both sodomites, are after your children. They're after them. And the public school system is one of the venues they use. They use sports, they use social organizations, they use government, they use anything, jobs, anything they can. They will use every avenue possible to get to your children. STDs have risen from 5 to 50. There's a 318% increase in sexual assaults today. 318% in sexual assaults. Why did all this happen? The answer is very simple. It happened because men and women back in the 40s laid the foundation by accepting the work of an insane idiot. They accepted the work of an insane idiot because he had a degree behind his name. Because he called himself a pediatrician. 50 years ago, the American Medical Association said that sodomy was an aberration. In other words, it's not normal. It misses the mark. It's aberrant behavior, okay? Now, the American Psychological Association has come out, which is part of the American Psychiatric Association, which is part of the AMA, has come out and said that sodomy is natural, normal, to be accepted. All right? So now, all right, I'm a citizen of the 21st century. I'm a world citizen. I go to Starbucks and drink my cappuccinos, and I get on the internet and carry my cell phones around, and I'm with it. I got all of the latest high-tech gadgets. So what am I supposed to do about sodomites? Do I accept it or do I reject it? And I've showed you already time and again how that the new Bibles and the new Bible dictionaries are, and they'll do it gradually, and they will change completely what the Bible says about sodomy. First thing they've done is to say, well, the Bible is talking about sodomy. It's talking about male prostitutes, temple prostitutes. So they've laid the foundation. You mark it down, they will eventually to change it completely to where it's talking about, say, well, the only thing he's talking about is an unloving relationship. And so forth and so on. And that's where you are. The reason they have because they've educated the public. See, they've educated the public into believing the lie. Now, of course. Yeah. Transgender. Well, I told you what. How many of you got on the government website and saw what Mr. Obama has laid out his agenda for the gay, lesbian, transgender community? If you haven't, go to, I forget now the URL, U.S. government, whitehouse.org, and they'll lay out their agenda for you. They'll lay it out. Okay? And, of course, 50 million babies have been killed now in this country, 50 million. And we've got a thing out in the foyer out there. It's got a lot of statistics relating to abortion. And the reason I'm saying all this tonight is that if you don't have some standards here, you really don't have anything. If you don't have an anchor for your soul, if you don't believe the Bible, you know, you really don't believe anything. If you believe the latest spin that's coming out of the American Medical Association or the Psychiatric Association or what have you, you know, if that's what you base your life on, then you're going to be spinning, believe me, because it'll change again. The next thing down the line is bestiality and pedophile, the American Man Boy Love Association. That's next. They're pushing hard for that, for the little boys and the sodomites. They're pushing hard for that. That's coming. And I mean, anything that'll want it. The stuff that would make people puke 25 years ago is mainstream today. And somewhere along the line, if your friends are doing this, you need to get you some new friends. If the crowd that you run with is doing this, you need to run with another crowd. Girls, if the girls you run with are making out, you're with the wrong girls. And boys, if the boys that you're running with are running around with men, you're with the wrong boys. You're the wrong crowd. You don't try to convert them, get away from them. Pray for them. But one little lone sheep, one little lone lamb in the midst of a bunch of wolves like that, you're not going to convert anybody. They're going to convert you. This old business telling me, say, well, now, preacher, because I'm there with them, I'm a light. And I'm, no, you're nothing. No. They'll sweep you away and blow you away. They'll consume you. What you need to do is get away from them. When I was 17 years old, I was a senior at Rule High School. I graduated when I was 17. I was senior at Rule High School. And when I was a senior at Rule High School, they had one term for sodomite, faggot. When somebody said fag, everybody knew what they were talking about. And they hardly ever used the word queer. They just said fag. All right, everybody knew what they were talking about. It was universally accepted when I was a senior at Rule High School that that was as low as a man could get. I never, in 4 years, I went up there 6 years. I went up there in the eighth grade. It was a junior high and a senior high school. In all the time that I was at Rule High School, I never saw two girls making out. Never. And I never saw two boys holding hands. They were deep. Whatever closet they were in, it was deep. Because I guarantee you, boys, I guarantee you, if a couple of boys had been holding hands, some of those football players or some of those basketball players or somebody would have got a hold of them and they'd have been out in the back. They would have in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. And nobody would have been sued over anything. There would have been a fight and it had been over with and that had been it and it had been settled and it wouldn't happen again. And nobody had gotten sued. Nobody had gotten sued. Today, you look cross-eyed at somebody, they'll sue you. Do you really like the world you're living in right now? I've lived long enough to know when there was a better world. There was a better world. A better world. Better than this one. A whole lot better. I didn't have to lock my door at night. Didn't have to worry about some pulling up to a red light and somebody jerking you out of the car, a car jacking you, or didn't have to worry about it. Didn't have to worry about it. Didn't have to worry about it. It just didn't happen. Then the worst thing we had to have, we had fights. We had plenty of them. Good night, man, we fought. Be a fight practically every day. But they'd be over with. And it'd be a fight. Nobody pulled knives. Nobody pulled guns. Nobody shooting anybody. Nobody stabbing anybody. They'd duke it out. They had a code back then. Because if one had pulled a knife out on the other one, he'd been finished. He'd have been ostracized in that school from that day on. But today, kids, I just wish you hadn't been born in the generation you're born in. That's all I can say for you. I really do. You kids that are 16, 17, 18 years old, 15, coming of age, coming up now, all I can say for you is I just wish you hadn't been born in this generation. I do. And I hope that God opens your eyes with all my heart. And that you can see and hear what we have to say, that we know what we're talking about. We're not trying to hurt you. We're trying to help you. We're trying to tell you that the culture that you're growing up in is as rotten as it can be. And that you've got to come out of it. And the only light you're going to find is in the church. And the only truth you're going to know is that book. And we'll support you and help you and pray for you every way we can. But the only way you're going to be able to live a happy life in this generation now, in this culture today, is as live as much apart from the culture of today as you can. Separation today is more necessary than it ever has been. It is. It's definitely more necessary than it ever has been. It's so different today. So different. And I'll close with that tonight. This world would be better if Benjamin Spock had never drawn his first breath of life. You better believe it. And you say, well, I can't believe a Baptist preacher would say that. This world would be better if Adolf Hitler had never set foot on it. It would be better if Karl Marx had never lived. This world would be better, and I can start naming a bunch of names. It would be infinitely better if they had never lived. And this man wrote a book that has destroyed the culture. up to the 50 years later. Father, in Jesus' name, now use what I've said, Lord. I spoke from my heart tonight, and I pray it helps. In Thy name we pray. Amen.